evening. So I have some bad news for you. I'm not going to be here next weekend. I know. But the good news is, many of you remember now Father Jimmy Tuzo, who's now a priest, thanks be to God. He'll be helping Father Wilson out next weekend, I believe at other Masses. So Father Wilson will be back here at this Mass the next week, next weekend. The other good news is I'll be back the following weekend, so don't worry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So if our first reaction to these words of our Lord today is one of shock or amazement or confusion, all this stuff about hating your family members and hating yourself, it's understandable. Both in his words and his actions, Jesus meant to shock us. But he never does this simply for the sake of shock value. He often uses intense and sometimes harsh words and imagery to make a very important point. Among all the Sundays of the year, the church gives us readings like this every so often to try and jolt us out of our complacency. And how providential that this reading comes the weekend after the unofficial end of summer, when all of us are getting back to reality. We should ask ourselves two questions. First, what does it mean to hate? Second, is there anything or anyone we can justifiably hate in themselves? Well, to hate is to express repugnance and repulsion at something or someone because it keeps us from what is good. And that's an important part of that definition, because it keeps us from what is good. And second, is there anything or anyone that we can justifiably hate in themselves? And the answer to this question is actually yes. Sin is always to be hated with every fiber of our being. If we think about the older version of the act of contrition, we say, I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. Every time we go to confession, we express true hatred for sin because it alone keeps us from our true good, happiness with God. But what about all this stuff about hating all the people we're supposed to love? Of course, Jesus doesn't truly want us to hate anyone. We're called to love everyone, but that simply means that we're called to work for their good, both in this life and in the next. However, some people, and we all either have people like this in our lives or have had people like this in our lives, are not particularly good influences on us. And sometimes we have to try and keep our distance from them if we want to avoid falling into whatever particular sin. We certainly don't hate these people. What we do hate is that they tend to put up a wall between us and the relationship with God that we want and need. In our gospel today, Jesus is simply stating in a different way the words of Psalm 139. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, in our culture, something like that sounds pretty terrible. We tend to think of hatred as evil, but in the mind of God, hatred itself is not evil. Rather, hatred is the proper response to evil. Jesus recognized that it was not only the enemies of God who can lead us away from him. Sometimes it can even be people in our own family or among our friends or colleagues. And insofar as our parents or children or siblings try to lead us away from God, away from the faith of the church, we have to place some distance between them and ourselves, as painful as it may be. There are other cases when those around us don't place us in any real danger of sin, but God sometimes still asks us to give them up in a certain way. And the first example I think of is the priest or the religious, who leaves the family of his birth, renounces a family of his own, and lives his life entirely in the service of God and the church. Now, at least speaking for myself, I don't hate my family. But the will of God for me, as with all priests and religious, was not only to renounce sin and evil, but also to renounce certain things that are good, such as marriage and family. By renouncing these good things, we're able to seek the good of God alone. And while this is certainly true for us as priests and religious who have given up that natural right to marriage, it's also true in a way for all of us. Everyone, no matter your vocation, is called to live in a spirit of detachment, or in the words of the Beatitudes, to live in poverty of spirit. There's nothing in this world, no possession we could have, that is evil in and of itself. There's nothing and no one that we should truly hate. But voluntary detachment, even from good things, is absolutely essential if we are to carry the crosses our Lord gives us with grace and joy. Of course, we tend to think of detachment from good things mainly during the season of Lent. But of course, it's during Lent that we only really want to do more intensely what we should be doing in perhaps a less intense way throughout the rest of the year. But the more we fill ourselves up with stuff, the more we give in to the culture of consumption, looking only to satisfy ourselves, the more we will look on any cross that Jesus sends with resentment and drudgery. When we recognize that everything that we have is a gift, that we are just stewards of everything in this life, we really do find that freedom of the children of God that St. Paul speaks about. Our culture tells us that more is always better, that greater possession means more freedom. But in fact, the word that they're looking for is not freedom, but license. License is simply the ability to do whatever we want, unconstrained by any outside factor. But real freedom is that liberty to act in accord with our nature, to act the way that we were made in God's image and with our vocation as sons and daughters of God. It's this freedom that allows us to love as Christ loved us. And it's only this freedom that brings us that peace and happiness that we're all looking for. One of the greatest exemplars of this was St. Teresa of Calcutta, better known as Mother Teresa. Her feast day was just this past week. She knew, of course, that it was only in renouncing the good things of the world and remaining detached from those things that she would find the freedom necessary to serve Jesus and his people with an undivided heart. At one point, when her sisters complained that their daily holy hour did not leave enough time to serve those entrusted to their care, Mother Teresa, rather than curtail the time devoted to prayer, told them that from then on, they would be making two daily holy hours instead of one. Now, this apparent sacrifice of time that could be dedicated to the most eminently good works, that sacrifice allowed her and her sisters to let Jesus work in them in a more complete way, surrendering more and more of their lives to him so that he could help even more people. So on this night, let us ask for her intercession, as well as the intercession of our Blessed Mother in a special way, as today is her birthday. Let us ask the intercession of both of them, that we might detach ourselves more and more from the things of the world, and so be able to serve the Lord with an undivided heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.